The same day Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around them that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky place, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with chokes the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I'm honoring this morning to pass the following time to Pastor Tom from the Port Moody Church.
Okay, good morning. I haven't been preaching in English congregation for a while, even in my own church. So I thank you for Sister did all the translation for me. So if I said something wrong or you don't understand, it is not because of her. It is because I'm also using Google to do the translation. You know Google, so you can blame Google. When I was in my sabbatical leave last year, I have a lot of time for personal reflections. I have a lot of self-talks and God talks. And then slowly I realized something God wanted me to learn. There are a lot of things in our life require patience. Waiting. The duration of waiting could range from days to years. Yet you may not even see the desirable outcomes from it. This causes us feel disappointed, discouraged, distressed, annoyed. Today my message is to encourage you, every one of you, for those who wait so long, nothing yet happened. People comes up to challenge you. What are you doing here? Just let it go. What is it for you? But I would like to encourage you, be patient, wait. With faith and with hope. Hang in there. Bear with it. The parable of sower, a very familiar Bible passage that we read so many times, so bored. But I would like you to see some very interesting thing that we may have overlooked in this parable. This is a message Jesus gave to his disciples when it was in the first century. But I believe this message is still alive, relevant, applicable to us today in even 21st century. You may say, I know this parable very well. Every one of us knows. It talks about four different types of soil. Which four types of soils? The one that fell along the path, the one that fell on the rocky places, fell among the thorns, and the last one is on the good soil. We usually like to figure out what type of soil we are. You are this and I'm that. My husband is the soil that along the path, the birds came and ate it up. When I preached this sermon in Cantonese congregation, I saw a wife elbowing his husband. Hey, this is you, talking about you, listen. But I would like to suggest this passage, this parable, is not about the soil. It's about the sower. When you turn to the page to Matthew 13, the title is what? The parable of the sower, not the parable of the soil. In order to understand this, we have first to understand a bigger picture of the parable. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus used 7 parables to preach about the kingdom of heaven. So the first one in chapter 13, the first one is this, the parable of sower, and then the parable of weeds, the parable of mustard seeds, the parable of yeast, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl, the parable of the lack. But I would like to ask, why and under what circumstances did Jesus need to use so many parables, 7 parables in one chapter in a row to talk about the kingdom of heaven? Why? Why so serious? 7 parables in a row to describe the kingdom of heaven. Let's look a little bit earlier about what is happening. In Matthew chapter 9, in Matthew chapter 9 to 10, talk about teachers of the law and the Pharisees started to challenge Jesus. Before chapter 9, everything is fine. The ministries of Jesus are well accepted. And then suddenly, from chapter 9, Pharisees come up to the stage and started acting against Jesus. Chapter 11 and 12 continued with such tensions between Jesus and the Pharisees. And suddenly, the whole situation turns and become chaotic. And at this moment, Matthew chapter 11 mentioned a very special scenario. It is about what? John the Baptist sent 2 disciples to go clarifying with Jesus. In chapter 11, verses 3, if you have your Bible or have your phone, verses 3, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Isn't it so strange? John the Baptist asking such a question to Jesus. Do you still remember at the very beginning of the ministries of the John the Baptist? He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Isn't it the John the Baptist, the first and the very first one who admitted Jesus is the Messiah? He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He is the first one who proclaimed Jesus is the name of God. But at this point, he is the one who totally trusted on him. But now at this point, when quarrels come up, when the forces that against Jesus is growing, when everything is in chaos, then the John Baptist, he is in the prison. I'm not sure. Maybe he knows it is about the end of his ministries. And the Bible said John the Baptist sent his 2 disciples to question Jesus. Are you the one was to come, or should I expect someone else? So Jesus now is not only facing the challenge from Pharisees, not only from outside, but also now the tension comes from inside, John the Baptist, who totally trusted on him before and now questioned about, what are you doing up here right now? Aren't you coming to judge the unrighteousness? What are you doing? You do nothing here. And I'm going to die. I'm in the prison and my ministry is coming to the end. But you are sitting here. You're doing nothing. We have evidences to believe that John the Baptist probably come from the Qumran community. That the Qumran group separated themselves from others to form a community that they felt was the genuine Israel, and they pray the Messiah will come and send fire to judge all the wicked, all the unrighteousness in Israel. So now I have a question in the mind of the John the Baptist. Yes, Jesus, you are charismatic. You are the very best teacher. You perform miracles. You're full of wisdom and powerful, but why until now, Jesus, you did not eliminate the wicked? And you even sat with the sinners. Your preaching seemed interesting, but didn't seem to appear effective. Someone listened, but many left. The kingdom of heaven didn't seem to appear the way John the Baptist had wanted, or at least not according to the timing he expected. I think this is a very interesting question. Have you ever been questioned by someone that, are you the one? In Cantonese, 你堅定留的? Up to Matthew chapter 12, it is all about the tensions of Jesus and others. And then in chapter 13, the passage that we are now reading today, Jesus just pushed out that 7 parables of kingdom of heaven in a row, just push them all out. Jesus uses this parable to explain, let the righteousness and the wicked exist together. Wait, when the harvest comes, the wicked will be disposed, will be exposed eventually. Parable of the mustard seed and parable of the yeast were placed under the same section. Mustard seed is from small to big. It needs to take time to go through a process, which could be very slow. Yeast is not visible, unseen, hidden. It's like the work of the kingdom. May not be like what John the Baptist expected, seeing an instant effect. The parable of hidden treasure emphasizes on the joyfulness of the founder. The parable of the pearl reflected the importance of discovering the great value of the kingdom of God. And the last parable, the parable of the lad, Jesus said, the judgment finally will come. You don't need to worry about it. At the end of the age, I will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. With the above frame of mind, it will be easier for us to understand this parable of sower that Jesus taught. What does it mean? When a farmer sows his seeds, the seeds may fall onto the first type of soil along the path. The birds came and ate it up. The birds is the evil one. Jesus explained that later in the chapter. When the message of the kingdom spreads, Satan will not sit back and watch. Will not just sit back and watch. It will definitely react with strong resistance, opposition, and it will fight back. The seeds may fail on the second type of soil, rocky places. The soil was shallow. When trouble comes, when persecution comes, he quickly falls away. The seeds may fall onto the third type of soil, among the thorns. The Bible said worries and temptation of money. any idol that replaces God make us unfruitful. The seeds may fall on good soil that will produce up to 160, 30 times. What type of soil has God's seeds fallen onto you? Could be all four. But the scripture might have been more concerned on the sower instead of the soil. A farmer would have not stopped sowing the seeds, even though he knows that some could have fallen along the path or on the rocky places. He's not going to pick up those seeds and then put them back one by one onto the good soil. He would just simply sow it generously again and again. Some may have response, some may not. Some grow out roots, but some scorched by the sun, some stuck in the thorns. But they are those that multiply 100 times, 60 times, 30 times. The sower would not be discouraged, disappointed, or distressed on those seeds where no root was sprout. He won't stop doing what he was doing, but rather look at those which multiply into 100 times, 60 times, and 30 times. Remember, there was a time when Jesus preached? Sometimes it may appear very non-effective. In John chapter 6, it mentioned once, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. If Jesus also challenged by people, he is not that effective. Why don't we can exempt from this challenge in our lifelong journey? The passage is about the kingdom of heaven. It's like us spreading his kingdom gospel. It may not always come back with effectiveness. We may ask what John the Baptist asked. Are you the one who was to come? Do something. Don't just sit here. We may experience this. Maybe we prayed so long for something. Pray for our father, mother, for so long. But still not yet come to you. Why? Am I not the one who has been following you so long and prayed hard for her? Are you the one who was to come? I don't know, do you have like, I see some parents here. Have you ever prayed like that? Lord Jesus, my sons and daughters went to church for so long. They went to Awana every week. They attend Sunday schools. They memorize a lot of scriptures. But today, she just told me she doesn't want to go to church anymore. What happened? Are you the one to come? Seem you are not that effective. Lord Jesus, you teach me to forgive. You said do not take revenge. So I forgive, forgive, and forgive. But he is now very happy. I'm the one that is unhappy. I didn't see you uphold the justice over that many years. Your words seems ineffective. Are you the one to come? You said, obey my master not only to win their favor with their eyes is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. O Lord, I served wholeheartedly, as if we're serving the Lord, not man. But that many years, still no promotion, still lay off. What does that mean? Are you the one to come? Lord Jesus, why am I not seeing any effectiveness in what I'm doing? Why all my prayers are in vain? Why don't I see any progress? Even more, seems like the situation is even getting worse before. Brothers and sisters, you may have many, many this kind of question that you would like to ask Jesus. You could be wanting an answer as badly as John the Baptist had wanted at that time. The parable of sower. It's not about the soil. It's about the sower. Jesus said, John the Baptist, hang on. Sometimes we have to wait. Don't be disappointed. I have my own agenda. May not like yours. But keep on. Be still. Be patient. My church in Hong Kong, at a time when my family was moving to Vancouver, that's about 20 years ago, I could still remember there is a young, fat boy in the fellowship. He always has a big smile on his face, very active in the fellowship. I did meet him a couple of times, but I just could not recall his name. It was about 20 years before. And then suddenly about 5-7 years, and then after 5-7 years, I heard he became a church pastor. And of course, I also heard a lot of comments of him from the eyes of elders, from the eyes of deacons. He is so young, green, inexperienced, immature. So I can imagine he should have got through a very difficult time in his journey of fulfilling his calling. But about 3-4 years before, I heard that he is now the senior pastor of my former church, Mother Church in Hong Kong. I'm so proud of him and thankful to God. But I can see there should have a time for this young man, a young pastor, facing challenges, hard times, difficulties, disappointments, struggles with God, fighting inside his heart, and may have a time he wants to quit. How many times you want to quit what you are now doing? I'm done. Don't bother me anymore. We may all have a time, have doubts like John the Baptist. Ask Jesus. Your word seems not that effective. Are you the one who has to come? But God always has his own timing. There are always some fell on the roadside, some fell on the rocky soil, some fell among thorns. But there are always some fell on good soil. Regardless what, the farmer still keeps sowing the seeds with joy and with hope. because the farmer knows it has to wait, to be patient, to have faith. When time comes, there must be harvest 100 times, 60 times, and 30 times. May the word of God encourage us, one another. There are always faith, hope, and love. Amen.